was my career, you know. I didn't start out to create a career, but this is how it happened.
Okay. Side two, take two. What I want from you, Mr. Weiss, is an evaluation of how do you view your accomplishments and your successes? And what do you view as your most significant accomplishments?
This is a general question, but it's a very important question because it requires some thought as to what my objectives were and so on. First of all, I think an artist, as in all professions, have to be very sincere and very willing to work very, very hard. Art requires energy, a lot of energy and strength, because you're standing at an easel for hours on end. But most importantly, an artist has to have a broad range of interests. He must like everything that he's exposed to in life. He must be aware of what is going on the street outside the window and the world. He must know what's going on economically, politically, culturally. The next important thing for an artist is education. He may go to a formal art school to arrive at his art, or he may be self-taught. There have been instances of artists, self-taught artists, who have not had formal education. But it helps to be under the direction, at first, at least, of a very good teacher who will set you on the right path and who will not influence you unduly in his particular style. The important thing for an artist is to express himself, but he can learn a great deal, not only from his teacher, but from constant exposure to art in all its forms, through magazines on art, books on art, trips to museums throughout the world, awareness of the history of art, the early years in history of all the periods of art. I particularly am, although I love the old masters and of course admire them, but I have a bent or direction towards contemporary and modern painting.
You say you did a lot of traveling in line with your art. Where did you go and for what purpose?
I did make four major trips to Europe. My first trip was the general tour of Europe, France, Italy, Austria, and England. That was a 19-day tour, and then I arranged to be 2 weeks on my own in Europe, where I stayed a week in Paris, a week in Amsterdam. I later took another trip.
When was that?
That was in 1964, I believe. Chronologically, I say that my next trip was to Iberia. to Portugal, Spain, and Morocco. That might have been about 2 years later. Is that 1966?
Mm-hmm.
My trips were generally about 2 years apart. Next trip was back again to Europe. Particularly, I wanted to get into Germany. On my first trip to Europe, I avoided Germany because of the Holocaust. And against my better judgment, I decided to include it this time because of the great art museums of Germany and the historic Rhine Valley, of course. That was probably about 2 years after that. I took a trip to Mexico, and observed particularly a lot of the frescoes by the great muralists Rivera and Orozco in Mexico. My last trip was to Greece, which is one of my treasured experiences because Greece, of course, is a cliche, the cradle of civilization, and it's wonderful to see the remainders of that great civilization, besides, of course, Greece being a very beautiful country.
Where did you go in Greece?
Where?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
besides Athens.
The trip to Greece included a tour of the major centers of Greek history. Olympia and Delphi, et cetera, et cetera.
Messina.
And the Parthenon of Athens and so on. And I had a 3-day cruise over to Turkey. Included this 3-day cruise where I saw a marvelous excavation of a major city which is still in progress. The cruise, of course, was a delightful change for this tour. I would love to continue to tour the major countries of the world, but it takes a lot of energy, which at this point in my life, I just don't want.
When was that last tour to Greece?
What?
When was it?
The tour to
Greece.
To Greece? I'll have to guess. I would say it was probably around 1980. I've traveled in this country. I took a trip to Yellowstone and the Grand Tetons. I have driven up to Maine where I painted along the coast. I then drove clear up to Quebec and down to Montreal. And back by way of Montreal.
Mr. Weiss, you started to travel in 1964. At that time, you were already an established artist with an established pattern.
Right.
After your travels and what you had seen, was that when your ideas for art changed to the more contemporary?
No. No, my ideas for contemporary art were very early. My early years, I concentrated particularly in my WPA period on painting realistic views of Pittsburgh, because that was what I knew best and what I loved. But at the same time, particularly since I was under the influence of Armando del Samudo at the Island Common Settlement Art School, pointed me in the direction towards modern art. That was my first exposure, for instance, to Van Gogh. And hardly anybody knew, I don't think anybody really knew about Van Gogh in those early years. So that's when, in that period, in my shows, in my exhibitions at the Associated Artists Gallery Museum, shows, I would show not only realism, but I would also show abstract art. The Associated had a special room. Most of the show was realistic in that period, but because abstract art was just starting to emerge, they had a special room for abstract art. So you could exhibit it in both directions at the same time, which is a very unusual thing. But it was in maybe in 1935 when I started to really concentrate. I would say maybe later than that, say around 1950, that I really concentrated on modern abstract art. I would occasionally veer back to realism because I still love to portray what I'm actually seeing and experiencing, and I think that a lot of people like that. They don't understand abstract art, and they really prefer realism. But that is not why I do realism. It's because I like to do it. All right. Now I might mention that my exhibition at the Museum of Art, my one-man exhibition at the Museum of Art, was right after my first trip to Europe, particularly to Italy, and it reflects quite a bit of my experiences in Italy, which is chock full of art in the streets of museums. In fact, I sat on a free afternoon at the Roman Forum and did an ink drawing of the Forum itself. When you realize, can think of history that has been made in these wonderful places that are still preserved in Europe.
And that's truly well preserved.
It is. Everything, they will not destroy anything.
No.
They'll build a skyscraper over a section of a monument or a section of a house in Europe, whereas here we would destroy it, probably.
You have been very fortunate in that you have been able to witness a long span of the life of art in the Pittsburgh area. Can you just contrast for us a little bit the art situation in Pittsburgh when you first started and today? Are people more receptive and more helpful today?
Well, of course, I think in danger of repeating myself, certainly the early years of Pittsburgh art, at least 1950-55, was primarily realistic. One of our major influences in Pittsburgh were the Canadian Internationals, which were held every year, as against every 3 years at the present time. It was primarily, I'd say 95% realism, with a small representation by great artists like Matisse, and Braque, and Picasso. But art in Pittsburgh was primarily realistic, and as a result, and because of the lack of education and art education by the Pittsburgh public, which hadn't been exposed enough to art, to fine art, there was a lack of understanding towards or acceptance of modern art. However, in the date I mentioned, approximately that date, there was a final trend towards abstract art. I credit a lot of that to our abstract group shows at the Arts and Crafts Center, which became very popular. The critics, most of whom were well-educated, well aware of the art scene, both locally and internationally, accepted it. There was a, I'd say, a minority in Pittsburgh who really understood and appreciated modern art. But from that point on, art in Pittsburgh became very modern, very abstract for a whole period, not only locally, but nationally and internationally. Art became an abstract approach. And there was a, finally, a group in New York of great artists in New York who created what's called the Abstract Expressionist Movement, whose ideas spread throughout the country and the world. They included, of course, Jackson Pollock, Mark Rothko, Franz Klein, and so on. So the shows at the Associated Artists and at the Center were primarily abstract. However, from about 1980 on, art has gone through many different phases and influences. As a reaction to abstract expressionism, we have Andy Warhol and pop art, a complete negation of abstract art. There have been many, many different movements. Practically every year, a new approach or movement crops up. One is a minimalist point of view. The art today is Catholic. It's anything goes, but it is no longer primarily abstract.
In line with that observation, would you give us your opinion of the last few internationals at the Carnegie?
The last few internationals, under the direction of the curator, adjunct curator, a man named Caldwell, has been very avant-garde, about as avant-garde as you can get.
But how good?
What?
But how good?
Well, that is for history to say. We're too close to it. But the art reflects, the internationals reflect the scene, the international scene, where the earlier internationals represented was an attempt to portray art around the world in various countries. That no longer exists. It's an international in the true sense of the word, that they exhibit those artists who are searching for completely new approaches. And the result is that a lot of the art is very, very difficult to accept and to understand, even for artists here. I go to the shows. I can honestly say that although I enjoy all exhibitions, I prefer the earlier shows, particularly those organized by Gordon Washburn, who was the first director to emphasize abstract art in Pittsburgh. The art is today is extremely difficult, and I don't believe the Pittsburgh public understands it at all. It'll be interesting to see what happens in the coming international this year, but I think it'll reflect the same attitude. And this is a result of exhibitions of this type in Europe. They have shows like this in Dusseldorf and in Paris. In fact, I saw one in Italy at the Biennale in Italy when I was there. I went particularly to see it. But even then, it was tame compared to what's happening today. But the shows in Europe today are the type you see in our international.
Another thing, Mr. Weiss. The museums all over the country do a beautiful job on exhibitions. Museum of Fine Arts in Boston, Cleveland Museum, Toledo Museum. They mount marvelous shows. Pittsburgh does not. What is the reason for that?
Well, the first reason, I think, is economics. The museum is not supported enough by the wealthy, whereas a lot of these other city museums are supported by major collectors and lovers of art who even pay for the buildings themselves. What was the point there?
Why we do not.
Why we do not. Secondly, I can use the word blame. Since our last director left, the man who went to San Francisco Museum of Art, the director of the decorative department, former director of the decorative arts at the museum, is now the arts director. And it reflects primarily, mostly, his bent or his direction. For instance, right now, although this is, I guess he considers it a major show, it's a show of early American art, colonial art. Folk art, which is nice, it's very interesting, but that's not life today.
It's not a major exhibit.
It's not a major exhibit, although they consider it that, I think. It's actually a loan from the Abby Aldrich collection in New York. And the shows, except for a few minor examples, do not reflect the art scene and the activity that the museum should present to the Pittsburgh public. They do not involve the Pittsburgh public enough like other museums in other cities do.
What do you mean?
So, what?
What do you mean by that? Doesn't involve?
Well, the only activity that the museum does is allow the associated artists to have their annual exhibition. The other museums activate the public more. I think there are more lectures. There are more activities, basically, that involves the public. And the museum, I think, has fallen way below standards in this city. And it's a sad state of affairs, particularly for artists who have to rely on galleries around town to see what's happening both locally and internationally and nationally. So I hate to be critical of the museum, but
one has to be.
One has to be. That's the way the cookie crumbles as far as the museum is concerned. At one point, I had a painting by a nationally known artist named Robert Gwathney. This painting I acquired in a raffle. I'm only mentioning this as a point connected with the museum. This painting was by Robert Gwathney, who is quite old, but still alive in New York, exhibiting at the Terry Dippenfest galleries. Wonderful artist who came here and taught at Carnegie Tech. I got to know him. Well, anyway, I was lucky enough to win this painting, which was done during his student years, I think, at the Pennsylvania Academy in Philadelphia. It's a satiric painting, fairly realistic, of a chauffeur in his livery costume holding a little, wonderful little Pekingese dog. The chauffeur has a very sour expression on his face, meaning his mistress is forcing him to take the little dog for an airing. That painting is a beautiful frame, which I used occasionally for my own art, but I felt that it was too heavy to hang on my walls, And I thought I ought to do something with that painting because it was stacked against the wall, not being enjoyed. I had several possibilities. I could try to sell it, I could keep it, or I could give it to the people of Pittsburgh. I chose to give it to the people of Pittsburgh because I thought they would love it, they would enjoy it, this humor. Mr. Caldwell accepted it, it came here. And incidentally, I thought I'd show him my own art, and he liked a lot of it. I hoped that they would put it on permanent display, or at least now and then. For a number of years, at least 3 years, it was down in the cellar. And I was very upset about it because I didn't intend that to happen. Finally, last year they organized a show. One of the new curators organized a show called Honest Work, which was of the art of that period. Tom Benton so on, the artists of that period. And they showed that painting, and it looked wonderful. But it's now back down in the cellar. And they have another painting by Robert Gloffney in their permanent collection that took a major prize in one of the shows that replaced the International during the war. But that's my experience with the museum. Capital GWAPHMEY, Robert Gloffney. In fact, one of the latest art magazine has a reproduction of one of his paintings in color. In that latest magazine of
we'll take a look. So
the it's a small reproduction, although they reproduce some others larger than that.
You know, the thought has occurred to me more than once: in a corporate city like this, there certainly should be more funds available for major art exhibits. And we have a magnificent museum.
Yeah.
We have the place for it.
Really, the melody.
The emphasis. For contributions to the cultural scene are primarily to the symphony, not to the museum. I mean, they do support it somewhat, but not on the scale that they support music around town. I think they're supporting the theater activities somewhat, although I'm not an expert on that.
Yes, they're planning to build a regular. They're planning to build a regular theater, the Cultural Trust.
Oh yeah, that's right. This isn't on.
Yes,
it's on. Is this on tape right now? Okay. Well, I want to know.
I'm anxious about the art because I feel that it's so important.
Well, this Pittsburgh has always been backwards when it comes to the visual arts. It's only in recent years that there's at least an upsurge in local galleries. It's not directed, as I said, by the museum. It's not pointed in affected by the museum. So as it was, and the Pittsburgh public, I'm sorry to say, has always been on the conservative side. It even reflects in the symphony programs. When there's a mass exodus from the concerts, when there's a modern composition playing, the Pittsburgh public is very slow in accepting advanced ideas, both visually, musically, architecturally, in every particular way. I think it's better, certainly, than it was in the 30s. When this place was really a desert culturally. That's the way it is.
Is there anything else you'd like to add, Mr. Weiss?
Are we coming to the end of this tape? Well, I'd like to sort of sum it up by saying that I think my life, artistically, culturally, has been very rich. I've enjoyed, loved my experiences of art, of creating art, of saying what I wanted to say, first to myself, then of course to other people. I've enjoyed to this day going to major museums. I subscribe every year to major magazines to know what is going on nationally, internationally. And I feel that everybody has the opportunities to develop in some way their creative expressions. Doesn't necessarily have to be visual art or musical art. It can be inventions. It can be scientific. But there's nothing that will replace the cultural scene, because through the ages, the art has lived and lasted for all time.
End of side 2, take 2.